Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkiewicz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, just a few days away now, Packers-Bears at Soldier Field. Sounds like it's going to be awfully cold down there on the shores of Lake Michigan on Sunday afternoon. But as we look at the Chicago Bears, a 3-10 football team that is playing better now than it probably has at any stage of the season. And a big reason is a rookie running back, Jordan Howard. This guy's getting some things done.
Yeah, Jordan Howard, you look at him and in the career he had, it was kind of discombobulated a little bit in college. He was at UAB. Obviously, they dissolved their program and then reassembled it. He ends up transferring to Indiana, had a productive year there, and now came to Chicago. And I think everybody was expecting him to be the young, developing running back. And after the injury to Taylor Langford, he has to be the featured back. And
Jeremy
he's
Langford.
Arguably been the MVP of this team this season.
Jeremy Langford.
Right? Jeremy Langford,
yeah,
sorry.
That's okay.
Yes.
But yeah, this is a guy, a rookie from Indiana, as you said, coming out of the Big Ten, was not expected to be a feature back his first year in the NFL. And Langford goes down. Langford was the guy that the Bears were sort of turning the reins over to with letting Matt Forte leave in free agency. And now all of a sudden their offense very much revolves around a rookie who's on the verge of a 1,000-yard season here.
Well, and it's really funny, Mike. I mean, there's so many injuries. They've had the suspensions. There's so many different things that the Bears have dealt with this year. Jordan Howard has kind of been the constant for them when you look at it through the course of the season. And when we were doing our insider inbox this week, it was such an interesting stat. I mean, the Bears entered this game 3-10 on the season. They're undefeated this year when he gets 20 or more carries. So I'm not saying that they would win every game if he has over 20 carries, but I think that probably tells you that when he does get going, when the Bears are in a position to feed him the football, they tend to be having a pretty good day. So the big thing for the Packers going into this one, as it seems like we're talking about every week, is being able to shut down the run, because after that you're dealing with a third-string quarterback in Matt Barkley. You don't know where Alshon Jeffrey is going to be back after the layoff. Jordan Howard is going to be where it starts for this Packers defense.
Yeah, and it's interesting looking at some of the headlines coming out of Chicago after the close loss, the three-point loss in Detroit last week. Howard had, I believe it was 16 carries.
Only 13.
13 carries.
Yeah.
Okay, so 13 carries in that game, and a lot of the writers, a lot of the media in Chicago wondering if he'd been fed the ball more in a close game there against the Lions, if the Bears might have been able to pull that upset. And you wonder sometimes if that then carries over to the next week where they definitely aren't going to forget about him, and he really will be the feature guy. And when you're talking super cold conditions on the shores of Lake Michigan there, it could be a day to run the football.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny how this has worked out with the Bears. It seems like the Packers are either facing them, right at the beginning of the season where it's kind of warm and still sort of temperate, or it's the end of the year and it's either snowing or 1 degree outside.
Yeah.
I think it was the NFC title game, right? The NFC North Championship game, we could call it, in 13, and just how bitterly cold that day was. And I remember standing outside and doing a pregame show and having the freezing drizzle kind of like freezing to my glasses a little bit. It sounds like we won't have the precipitation factor, but, with temperatures probably in the single digits, that's going to be a temperature to run the football for both for Green Bay and Chicago. When you talk to somebody and you look at somebody like Howard, he's played at Indiana. He probably has some idea of what those conditions are going to be like to a certain extent. And if you're the Bears, I mean, this is what you have to do this time of the year. They're playing very competitive football right now. They are playing all 60 minutes, and I'm sure they're going to be looking at Jordan Howard trying to get him going and establishing that identity for 2017.
Yeah, I remember the one that sticks out in my memory the most. I believe it was my second trip to the Soldier Field press box, 2007. The Packers were on their way to NFC North championship and a first round bye in the playoffs and all that, and the Bears were kind of going nowhere. It was late December, just a bitterly cold day, and the winds were unbelievably bad. And the Bears just took it to the Packers. I think it was 35-7 or something like that. Just a disastrous day for Green Bay. And you just never know in this rivalry exactly how things are going to go when you factor in the weather and all this kind of stuff. And as we've been talking about here in the opening segment, a young guy like Jordan Howard with plenty to prove, he's out there saying, hey, I should be the starting running back next year. You know, he's out there to prove something. A lot of these guys on on the Bears. Yeah, they may be 3-10, but it's still all about playing for your future.
Yeah, and that's the reason why Mike McCarthy, when he came out Monday and set the tone right away for the week, saying that, yeah, we can't look past Chicago, because I know the natural tendency for the outside is going to be, hey, you know, what is Detroit doing? What is that last game of the season going to mean? The Packers are going to get the Vikings back at Lambeau Field next week. If you're Green Bay, you can't look at it that way, because you look at a Bears team that's lost, their last three losses have been by a combined 15 points. And then they went into, or they took on the 49ers and, you know, quadrupled them up. So yeah. This is a game team, and again, this is going to be a team that, when you look at John Fox and Vic Fangio and where they're at, there's been a lot of questions this year, a lot of outside noise. They want to get a win, and they want to get a win badly.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we've got plenty more on the Chicago Bears to break down here on Packers Unscripted. Back with more right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, as we continue the discussion here of the Bears offense, quarterback Matt Barkley, the reins have been turned over to him in terms of the signal calling here for Chicago. He's their third guy this year. It started with Jay Cutler, and then also Brian Hoyer, both of them sustaining season-ending injuries, and a young guy here in Barkley who was really thrown into a tough situation at Lambeau Field on that Thursday night game earlier this year when Hoyer went down, got sacked, and had the what turned out, I believe, to be a broken arm,
if I remember right.
Barkley gets thrown in there, was you know, clearly not really prepared for what he was dealing with, but a guy who's settling in, looking more and more like he belongs in the NFL and maybe has a place here, and the Bears are starting to like what they see.
Yeah, let's not forget, I mean, Matt Barkley was a fourth-round pick 3 years ago. 4 years ago, there was some talk about whether or not he'd be a first-rounder.
Right.
Decided to stick around USC. His last season didn't go, I think, as he wanted, as everybody expected it would. He ends up being a fourth-rounder with Philadelphia. With the kind of musical chairs and quarterback carousel that they fell into, he goes to Arizona, now ends up in Chicago. So he's been kind of well-traveled in these first three and a half NFL seasons. But again, you talked that last segment, Mike, about, you know, this being a game where they want to establish an identity for 2017. Matt Barkley wants to make a case that he could be a quarterback, a starting quarterback in this league, whether it's for Chicago or whether it's for somebody else.
Right.
This is his chance. There's not a lot of opportunities for third-string quarterbacks to really get in a lot established playing time. Because at some point, you look at the situation in Cleveland, somebody might get hurt, but then you have RG3 coming back. I mean, there's so many shifting chairs there. Well, now this is Barkley's opportunity, and I wrote in our inbox this week that every snap for him is going to be a Super Bowl. I mean, this is really, if you look at his statistics, his best shot he's ever had to prove that he can do it. He had the makeup. A lot of people really praised his mentality coming into the league. The opportunity just hasn't been there. Well, suddenly now it is.
Yeah, and you look at him statistically, you know, his passer rating to this point of the season, it's in the low 70s. There's nothing really to shout about there. But when you look at the progression from game to game, you're definitely seeing more productivity, more efficiency from him. And it stands, the Bears have not been explosive enough on offense.
Right.
I think that's fair enough to say. And you look at Barkley, his longest pass completion in over 100 pass attempts that he's had, 31 yards. But that being said, Alshon Jeffrey now is coming back from a suspension. He'll be back this week to face the Packers. The Packers know plenty about Alshon Jeffrey. They faced him many times. He's had some good games against Green Bay. He can be a tough matchup. He's an athletic receiver who can, you know, go get the jump ball, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
This is a guy who could really help out a young quarterback like Barkley.
Yeah, and you've heard a guy like Joe Witt, the Packers cornerbacks coach, has talked for so long about the receiver that Jeffrey's become and in the kind of matchup that he's made in terms of, you know, if you want to classify receivers by his, you know, the star system that he uses or just by that tier one aspect. I mean, Jeffrey's in that conversation, and he wants to show that, you know, if he can get back on the field against Green Bay, if he can get back on the field for the last three games, he's playing for a contract. He's playing for his future. There's a lot to prove there. at the same time, it's really interesting how this season's progressed for the Bears in that there really hasn't been any position on their offense that's gone unscathed. Every area has been sort of ravaged by injuries. This is their first opportunity to kind of get somebody back into the fold, and I'm sure for Barkley's sake is going to be happy to see him out there, assuming everything works out fine and he is back on the field. So we'll have to see the week as it comes. But when you look, if you're just glancing at the Bears roster, and no disrespect to anybody there right now, but Jeffrey's really the only name that pops out to you. Aside from that, there's a lot of, okay, who's this guy?
Yeah, and the Bears are trying to sort that stuff out. But another thing that we will see on Sunday, I'm assuming we're going to see on Sunday at Soldier Field that we did not see when the Packers and Bears met the first time, Josh Sitton at left guard. He was injured for the first Packers-Bears meeting. He did miss several games throughout the course of this season, but he was back on the field last week against the Lions for Chicago. And I don't know about you, but I'm kind of looking forward to seeing maybe Mike Daniels and Josh Sitton, do a little trench warfare there. That could be pretty interesting.
It could be. And I remember listening to Mike when Josh was still here, the respect that he had for him. And when Mike was kind of coming up in the ranks and in 2013 and 14 and really starting to establish himself as a marquee player on this defense, you know, one of the things he always credited was working against Josh Sitton and TJ Lang in practice. He said, I mean, you want two of the best guards to go against in the game. He got to see them every day during training camp and every day during the week of preparation. So I'm sure there's going to be a lot of respect there, but a lot of competitiveness too.
I mean, no question.
Josh Sitton is a 3-time Pro Bowler. I mean, he's an all-pro type guard who's kind of, sort of succumbed to some of those injuries a little bit this year, been dealing with the ankle sprain and all that, why he didn't play against Green Bay. But even with the 3-10 team, I have to imagine that he's going to be out there wanting to set the tone for the Bears. And Mike Daniels, as we see at times, including in that game against the Seahawks, can be a guard or center's worst nightmare.
Yeah, I mean, as an arch rival as the Packers and Bears are, I'm sure the Bears would love nothing better than to wreck this winning streak for the Packers, potentially wreck their season. I don't know how the Bears handle their, pregame stuff in the locker room and as far as who talks to the team. But if I'm John Fox, I think maybe the last guy I want talking to my team before you hit the field is Josh Sitton. He might get these guys a little fired up to get back at Green Bay.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of the game you play. I mean, you look even with Kristen Michael last week against Seattle. I mean, there was a little extra hop in his step. He didn't say a whole lot during the week, but you could tell that one play where he's running near the sideline and takes the shoulder from, I forgot which defender that was.
Yeah.
There's always going to be that little extra energy in those kind of matchups.
Yeah, for sure. Well, with that, we'll throw it to a break, and we'll be back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here. Wes Hodkowitz there. And Wes, turning our attention to Chicago's defense, I think it has to start with first-round draft pick Leonard Floyd. He's a rookie that the Bears drafted him high,
right,
as the guy they want to build their defense around for the future. An outside linebacker, pass rusher, speedy guy, sideline-to-sideline type of a chase linebacker. Kind of has the whole package, excuse me, and he's really, from what I've seen, kind of the heart and soul a little bit of this defense.
Yeah, I mean, he's the hope. He's kind of the idea of the future, because you go back even to last year with Vic Fangio, his first year with Chicago. Outside of them bringing in McPhee,
right,
for the most part, it was him trying to make his system work with the pieces that were already in place. When you look at Floyd, he's not your prototypical outside linebacker. He's about 20 pounds lighter than you typically Fangio and Dom Capers like those guys. But he's really quick, really athletic. And with 7 sacks this season, I think you can start to see some of his upside. He came off a really scary incident at MetLife Stadium last month. I hated to see it. I was watching that game live, and he ended up having an incident where his head kept it. It's why you got to keep your head up. Kept his head down when he was going for the tackle. He ended up hitting the abdomen of one of the offensive linemen, and ended up having this really scary neck incident. Got stretchered off the field. missed one game.
Yeah.
You know, really was able to, you know, avoid disaster there. But hate to see that for young guys. But he's came back at a 2-sack performance 2 weeks ago, and it seems like he's picking up right where he left off.
Yeah, and the Bears have, you mentioned Pernell McPhee, a veteran guy in the pass rush, and Willie Young, I believe it is, on the defensive line, is leading the Bears with 7.5 sacks. They actually have, I think, three guys. McPhee and Floyd and a third guy, I'm not sure exactly who it is, but with 7 sacks apiece. So the Bears don't necessarily rely on
Akeem
one guy.
Hicks was the other one.
Sorry?
Akeem Hicks was the other one.
That's right. Hicks is the other one with 7 sacks. So they don't necessarily rely on just one guy to get after the quarterback. There are different guys who can get that job done, and maybe we're starting to see. I think their defense is playing a lot better. I mean, they, you know, to go on the road in Detroit and hold the Lions to 20 points and score a touchdown on a pick six, those are signs that you've got some young players on defense who are really coming along.
Yeah, I really like their pass rush. I think they've really been able to develop inside in terms of the bodies they have down there, and they've had some more injuries. I know a Goldman was dealing with some stuff this year, and I think they lost him. But for the most part, I think they've done a really good job. Vic Fangio's done a really good job with that version of his own zone blitz 3-4 scheme of being able to find ways to pressure the opposing quarterback. The issue for them has been very similar to what Green Bay sort of went through for a while, in that they just haven't been able to turn over the ball enough. I mean, they have 7 interceptions on the season, which puts them right, I think, in 28th or 29th in the league right now, just ahead of Jacksonville with 3. So not enough turnovers, not enough big plays from their secondary, which is somewhat to be expected. I mean, that's been the area where they've been stressed with Fuller's injury and really haven't had a lot of guys step up there. So those two things work hand in hand with that zone blitz system. You have to get pressure, you have to get turnovers, and that's been kind of the area that's been missing for the Bears for most of the season.
Yeah, you mentioned Kyle Fuller's injury in the secondary. I think that was that's been tough for them to overcome. The veteran cornerback there, Tracy Porter, is kind of the leader, the guy with all the experience. And as we talk about differences from the first Packers-Bears meeting this year to the second one, Aaron Rodgers really picked on a young cornerback, Devontae Bosby. They tried to match him up against Devontae Adams, and Rodgers and Adams, you know, just kind of had a field day that night at Lambeau Field. Bosby not on the team anymore. He's been released. They're moving ahead with some other young cornerbacks, and so some different matchups that the Packers are going to have to look for.
Yeah, it's actually 2 times now Bosby's been cut since that game against the Packers. Was cut in the middle of November and then was cut again on Monday. So we'll have to see. Maybe he comes back on the practice squad or something, but whatever the case may be, he'll not be out there. I'm sure if you're Aaron Rodgers in this offense, though, things don't change. I mean, Tracy Porter's a really talented cornerback. I thought he did a really good job against Jordy Nelson in that game.
Yeah, he did.
Back at Lambeau Field in October. But there's areas where the Packers feel like they can exploit guys. And again, we'll have to see what the plan is going to be with Jared Cook. But otherwise, I'm sure Devontae Adams and the rest of those guys are going to be looking to make some big plays.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Wes, before we go to a break, let's take care of some sponsor business here. At home or in the stands, we all know that Green Bay fans give it their all, and that takes a lot of energy. So grab a warm bowl of Campbell's Chunky Soup. Its meaty goodness fuels the greatness of Packers fans everywhere. Try the delicious Chunky Chicken Broccoli Cheese. Just visit your local supermarket retailer and ask for Campbell's Chunky Soup, the hearty way to fuel your game, and the official soup partner of the Green Bay Packers. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford joined by Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, before we go today, something to touch on here: the all-time series between the Packers and Bears, the longest-running rivalry in the NFL, the 190-something meeting between these two teams. The Packers actually have a chance with a victory to tie the all-time series, to even it up, dead even. And I'm going to test you here. Do you know when, what year, the last time Packers-Bears all-time series was tied?
I'm going to go with 1972.
Not even close. 1933
Jeez.
Was the last time that the series was actually tied. The Bears in 1933 moved ahead in the all-time series and have had the lead in the all-time series ever since. The Packers have never actually caught up. Now, through the Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers eras, the Packers have gained like 20-plus games,
yeah,
you know, over the last couple of decades because those two quarterbacks have really dominated the Bears at times. But Packers had a chance to even the all-time series last year on Thanksgiving night. But did not win that game, so the Bears went back ahead by two. Packers won the first game this year, so now the deficit is back down to one and a chance to even it up. I don't know if we'll hear that much about it this week from the players. That's not something in the locker room they're probably really concerned about, and nor should they be.
Right.
But I think for the fans, certainly, especially the longtime fans, it might mean a little something.
Yeah, I think so too. And I mean, for the Packers to be playing for that long, that's really stuns me. I would have thought for sure that the Green Bay Packers would have been able to, if not match it, been able to pull ahead in the 60s. But there's a lot of good football that was played for the Bears for many years, and certainly when you look from 69 all the way to 92, there was a big gap on the other side of that the Packers lost a lot of games too. So
yep,
for them to be back within arm's reach of it, I'm sure when Mike McCarthy will probably get asked about it this week, and I'm sure that's something he takes pride in, just given that, you know, the history of those two teams. But to end that, what would that be, an 83 year?
Yeah, 83 years without being even in the series with your longest rival. So I just find it historically really interesting.
Yeah, and you don't see a whole lot of things like that because, well, one, there aren't that many teams that were around that long.
Right.
But two, just from the perspective of, you know, two of the most historic teams in the NFL, and to be honest with you, for most of my lifetime, the Bears have had a more difficult time having success lately. So it's interesting that they find themselves in a position now that they've actually been able to maintain that lead for that amount of time. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, for sure. The we'll have to see how things shake out on Sunday afternoon. I think we'll keep an eye on that weather forecast,
yeah,
as the week goes along, because that'll definitely be a story as we get closer. But that's a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.